This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
We usually see the mothers that are showing the outward gestures, you know. It's the mothers that's going to be crying and screaming and doing all of these things. But the father, oh my God, the father is suffering on the inside, usually. They are going through so much pain over their family that we do not see on the outside. Just because they're not expressive does not mean that they're not feeling what the mother is feeling, or maybe even more. Because a father that is responsible understands that he answers for his family. Praise the name of Jesus. Let us stand quickly as we pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you because you are a good God. You are a glorious God. We worship and we adore you this morning as the Father of fathers, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the one that shows us and is our example of an outstanding father, the breasty one of Israel, the one that says that I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. We give you praise. We honor you this morning. We worship you. We bow before your throne. We say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. On this Father's Day and every other day, we adore you. We worship you. We give you praise. We say, Abba, Father, holy is your name. We join the 24 elders and we say, holy, 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 holy is your name. We give you praise, Jehovah. We worship, we stand. We stand in awe of you. Thank you for being an example. Thank you for being an example unto us. We worship you. We give you praise. Because we know that anytime we go wrong, all we have to do is look at you, Abba Father, to correct everything that is wrong in our lives. Father, we want to thank you for being an example this morning. We give you praise and glory. For it is in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. And the people of God say, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord this morning. I want to say very quickly that I realize that when everything went wrong in the Garden of Eden, it was Eve who got the seed that was not supposed to have been touched, well, eaten. And she was the one that gave to her husband. And she was the one that spoke to the devil. But as we know, and we know the scriptures, the Bible says that and God went into the garden as he normally does. And the first person that he asked for was Adam. He said, Adam, where are you? And when Adam would not bring himself out and, you know, God got talking to Adam, he realized that Adam had listened to his wife and they did what God has already said, do not do. One thing that was so interesting to me is that the scriptures talks about how an overseer should be. Someone who desires to be an overseer, they give us the specifics of what an overseer should and should not do. But I want to say to you this morning that every father, every man of the house should have these characteristics, because these characteristics are good for a godly man and not just an overseer or a pastor or someone that is a bishop or whatever have you. And so we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. We're going to read from 2 to 5 of 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verses 2. We're going to read to 5. Can I have the NIV version, please? In my Bible, it says, an overseer then must be above reproach. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife. Can I hear an amen to that? If you have one wife in this house, please say amen. It says, an overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well. Somebody say well. Keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? I want us to quickly go to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 3. Let's look at maybe verse 14. Genesis chapter number 3, verse 14. Let's skip to 15. It says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between you and your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise. That's not where I'm going. Let's go to 16. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now, this, what we read just now, is as a result of the curse. Amen. It is as a result of the curse, because in the beginning, this was not how God wanted or intended for the relationship between a husband and his wife to be, not to rule over her. What the Bible says in the beginning is that they are to rule over and dominate the land, dominate the animals, and rule over the land and the animals as together, because the Bible says that Eve was taken out of Adam and the two shall become one flesh. So they're supposed to rule together. But because Eve was not responsible in her behavior, because Eve did not do what was told by God to do, God now says to Adam, you must kind of babysit her. The other word, or the other way of looking at ruling over, is babysit. Because when an individual is not able to supervise themselves, I said the last time I was in Houston and I was ministering last Sunday, and I said, the reason why I will need somebody to help me, the reason why I need an armor bearer, is that that armor bearer will know what I need before I need it. And will be able, as I'm turning around, the armor bearer is there to give me what I need. If I need something else outside to go, the armor bearer will have to go and do that thing. If I have to now go and supervise, instead of getting something else done, then that person is not a help to me. I'm having to supervise you again in doing what you're supposed to know to do. And so you're not a help over me. I'm supervising you. I'm babysitting you, and you trying to help me, it doesn't work. I have to rule over you. But a man who understands the love of God and understands what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 5, let's go to Ephesians chapter number 5. We're going to read from verse, let's just start from 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Let's go on. And love, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Put sexual immorality and all impurities and covetousness must not even be named amongst you, as is proper among saints. Let's continue. Let there be no filthiness, no foolish, take no crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an adulterer, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for being of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the son of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, and now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. That no part of the unfruitful work of darkness, but instead be no part of the unfruitful work of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, say, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish and understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is decurery. How do you say it? Praise God. But be filled with the Spirit of God. I just want to stop there for a moment. Now, I was saying that this particular scripture in 1 Timothy that we first read, chapter 3, verse 2 to 3, it's telling us how a man should be. If a man that the Bible says a woman should submit to, I say that ruling over is one thing, but to submit, it's not the reason why a woman submits to her husband, or the reason why children submit to parents or to their fathers, it's not because they're any stupider, if that's a word, but because they understand that in the order of God, there has to be order. Just like at work, it doesn't mean that your boss absolutely knows more than you. But because they are in the position of the boss, you submit, and whatever they tell you to do, you do. Praise the Lord. And so if the Bible says that we as women should submit, it is, of course, you know, when the Bible says that children obey your parents so that it can be well with you, it didn't say that your parents have to be perfect. It didn't say that they have to be honorable. It didn't say that, you know, if they are witches, still don't submit to them. Only submit to your mother and father if they're not warlocks or witches. No, it doesn't say that. But it will make it easier, because the Bible says that we as parents should not provoke our children. So what am I saying this morning? As fathers, if we are able, or if fathers are able to take the position of what the Bible is saying a overseer or a bishop should be, because technically you're like the bishop of that home. And if you are able to be and keep your temperament in order, and you're respectable, you're hospitable, the Bible says that the way that Christ loved the church is how a husband should love his wife, really his family, because if he's loving his wife that way, he's going to love his family that way. So I'm looking at him like, so why, or should it be easy for a woman to submit to a man? It makes it easier for a woman to submit, regardless of what kind of a husband we have. We must submit. But what I'm saying this morning is that it's easier for a woman to submit to a man who knows what he's doing. So that the blind is not leading the blind. I was encouraged by someone that was saying that a man of a house should be somebody that will be an example. It should not be the wife that's saying, wake up, honey, let's pray. Okay, just stop praying, I'll listen to you. As you're praying, I'll be listening to you. A man should be an example. And the only way we can be and look at that example is by looking at God and what his word says. And I'm saying, like, wow, if a bishop, because it's a bishop, should have one wife and should be prudent and should be happy and should be this and should be that. Is it only limited to bishops? All men really should be bishops, shouldn't they? Because all men are bishop of their home. Not because the wife is stupid, that's why you're bishop over her. Because if we're talking about a proper bishop, a bishop of a church, are we under his ministration because we're stupid? Are we under his ministration because we don't know how to read the word of God for ourselves? No, it's just that it is the order of God. It doesn't mean that because we are in the church, we disrespect the people. No, we preach to the people, we teach the people the way of God, and we love the people. That is the responsibility of a bishop. So a bishop of his home should be one who has these same qualities as a bishop of a church. Whether you're a bishop over 20, or you're a bishop over 5, or you're a bishop over 3, or you're a bishop over 1, the point is that you take the responsibility of a bishop. A bishop leads. And so when it's time for the things of God and the things that it's supposed to be, it makes it easier to submit under someone who is going someplace. Do I hear an amen in the house? Amen. I want to thank the Almighty God that we are in Christ Jesus. Because those that are not in Christ, you know, when I first started ministry, I would ask God, why did you make me a woman? Why? Why did you make me a woman? Why did you make me a woman? Well, this isn't that. Well, I have to submit to somebody. Well, that's not good because I just want to be able to go and do as I please. And what the Holy Spirit reminded me is just because you are a woman, you're not the only one submitting. A man who is responsible has someone that he also submits to. Just because we are talking about men doesn't mean that they get to do as they feel. The only people who get to do as they feel and will do as they feel to go to hell is people who do not know Christ Jesus. But if you are in the household of faith, then you should definitely be, you should be answerable to somebody, even as a man. So it's not a gender thing. It's a matter of we must have someone we answer to, somebody who can speak into your life as a man. For some men, they have spiritual mothers that speak into their life. There's a church that we know in Nigeria, West Africa. The bishop over the church is a woman, Madam Idahosa. She, after her husband died, took over and is the bishop of the church. All the men, they see her as a mother in Israel, and she speaks into their life. For us in the Redeemed Christian Church of God, every man, every pastor reports to Daddy G.O. He speaks. He has the ability to correct. One of the ways you know a man who is going places is, does he have someone to speak into his life? Because we always, you know, there's this saying that says that he that has a father will go further. So if you have a father, there's some things that the father will teach you as a son. And so you can also pass it on to your own generation. That scripture again, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 to 3 says, an overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, responsible, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, praise God, these words, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. You know, during the convention, there was, I can't remember who was speaking, but they were saying how it was Mommy Gio. Mommy Gio was saying how, you know, one of the things she admires about Igbo men, and she's Yoruba, and she was putting all the Yoruba men on blast. I was like, Mommy Gio, you really went there? She said, what I love about Igbo men is that Igbo man, you see his wife, all his possession, you're going to see it on his wife. He's going to look, he can look however he wants to. But when you see his wife is looking glorious. And all the women in the house was jubilating and like, yeah, that's true. And I should have married me an Igbo man, whatever. While they were all doing that and saying all that, my husband went to the bathroom. So I was like, oh, well, you know, I'm safe. You don't have to ask me that same question. As soon as he came back, he said, so, do I have the love of money? Pretty much that's what he was saying. And I was like, yeah, no, you take care of me, honey. You take care of me. But the truth, the God honest truth is that my husband will prefer for me to have before he does. The Bible says that a man should love his wife like Christ loved the church. And what is that? Like Christ loved the church. What did Christ do for the church? He laid down his life. I want to encourage every man in this house under the sound of my voice that the Lord will continue to give you the grace to be leaders in your home, leaders on your job, leaders everywhere, so that the truth of God will continue to shine upon you, shine through you in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's stand on our feet very quickly. That video that we saw was something that it was funny, but it's something that we can learn from. Sometimes we have said as fathers and even as mothers, we've said the wrong things, whether in joking or in anger. Those are the two times that we misspeak all the time. We speak when we're joking. We say things that are not appropriate. I remember I was speaking to somebody and, they, you know, because I was funny, they called me crazy. But it sounds okay in English. But if you say in my language, it sounds real, real bad. And I was like, no, that's not me. Don't say that over me. So a lot of times we have said something in joy. We say the wrong things to our children. And also when we're angry, maybe more so when we're angry. So every man under the sound of my voice, I just want you to place your right hand in your loins. Just place it right here. And I want you to pray that every word that you have spoken that is contrary to the destiny of your children, that the Lord will reverse it now with the blood of Jesus Christ. Every word that you may have spoken in anger, that you may have spoken because you were the loose of the tongue, that the Lord will reverse it. Because let me tell you, brethren, you have an authority over your wife. You have an authority over your children. And so whatever you have spoken, whether in anger or in joking, when you were doing some sort of joke, it can come to pass. But I want you by yourself to reverse every word that you may have spoken that was contrary to the destiny of your wife, destiny of your children, that God in his infinite mercy will reverse those words in the name of Jesus. Come on, I want you to pray that prayer right now. Pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. Pray that prayer right now in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, reverse every word that I have spoken out of anger in the name of Jesus, that I may have spoken that was contrary to the destiny of my wife, contrary to the destiny of my children, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. I want you to still keep your hands there in your loins, and I want you to pray that the Lord will allow you to fulfill your destiny as a man. There is a reason why God made you a man and not a woman, that you will fulfill your destiny in your own life, in the life of your family, and in your society. You will fulfill your destiny. Come on and lift up your voice and pray that, Lord Jesus, help me to fulfill my destiny as a man. In the name of Jesus, help me to fulfill. Women, you can pray for your husbands, you can pray for your future husbands, you can pray for your sons, you can pray for your whatever man that is in your life, you can pray for them right now in the name of Jesus, that they will fulfill destiny. For mothers in the house, there is a reason why you gave birth to sons, that they will fulfill destiny in the name of Jesus, that they will fulfill destiny in the name of Jesus. So everybody in the house really can be praying at this time. I want every man, pray for yourself that as a man you will fulfill destiny. You will not miss a beat in the name of Jesus. You will fulfill the destiny for your life and for the life of your family. You will fulfill destiny in your marriage. You will fulfill destiny in your home. We give you praise, Jesus. We worship and we adore you. We glorify your majesty. For it is in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. And the people of God say,
Praise the Lord.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.